Kuyana. John Aulan Ilwatu Kanekto. Ukru Rakak Samin Rikshak. Asingu Yuilak. Surau Rak Egalwid Nagalu Ukru Negait. Pilgupsi Ikayoksiu. Tavrum Natau Nipsiok Bakunga Nipsiktunga. Nipsela Lakton Kakmanilu. Kadin Mata. Wagud utukanao tuane ukril guilaud ak imong asak inu yumine kalaktud ikayong naktud kisen kuyana.
We have that on tape.
What I'd like to have is Eleanor Lowell translate what Mrs. Katungan had just said.
No, let them. They're more educated. Yeah. Yeah, they're more, more educated.
So I could be on tape.
Hazel Katungan spoke very briefly on the importance of preserving the subsistence lifestyle that we are blessed with regards to Ugruk. She stated that Ugruk will not come near or be where its habitat has been disturbed. And furthermore, she said, we need help there. I am asking you to help the statement of John Aulan. We need help. These words were said twice by this elder who is very concerned with the subsistence lifestyle that is ours to keep. And she also admits that my life here on earth are not very long, but after I am gone, the food will still be needed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Martha Nanaf. I was born here, and I had 9 children, and I have 45 grandchildren, over 20 great-grandchildren. I'm concerned about our people. In fact, when I was just a young girl, there's 2 grandpas I will recall. Grandpa Nasholuk, he was the last chief here, and Grandpa Itagak. Whatever they say, it goes. The people respected them. Whatever in this village, they were just like leaders when we didn't have no council. And I remember as a child, there was no motors. Everybody that goes up the river, they had to line and pole. And us, we have campsite, Ada Dignan's mom and my grandmother. And all along the beach, there were campsites. They used boat and sometimes dogs to carry their boats and whatnot. And we walked all. And every Sunday, we'd walk to church and we would go back. And this village was just like a big one family. They love each other. There was love. Whoever caught a whale, people would go with their cooking pots and get a share. And without grudging, they would share. And they were blessed. God see to it everything. They had gardens, and there was Reverend Larson down that stayed here, taught many people how to make gardens, and we all have gardens. And then fishing and all that. I recall when Mom was real sick, her prayer when she prayed, God, you has given us everything. the sea with seals, different kinds of seals, different kinds of fish, whatever we need. And then the land, greens, different kind of greens to eat. Berries, different kinds of berries. And yet, Lord, we would ask for more. Meet our needs, strengthen our faith. Here I'm talking in faith to for benefit of our children and our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that we will, us older people, we will be gone within a few years. And all those people I thought when I was a child, oh, they must have lived so many, many years. They're all gone. So many, many of them, they're gone. I wish they were here to talk for their children, grandchildren. They shared everything. What I would like to say is that we love our country. We love our land. We love the sea because it provides all the food what we needed. And I wouldn't want that to be. Everything is changing each year. It's changing. I could talk in Eskimo, but so many could understand in English more. Even I could talk better in Native if I talk in Native, my language, my grandmother's language. It's so wonderful to have grandparents like that, that have love. We need that love in this village. That love is failing. But I'm thankful. God's love is still here to everybody. I praise and thank the Lord. Thank you for all your prayers. I was very sick in the hospital, but I'm thankful I could be here. What Weaver Ivanov said, I put my hand 100% IRA. If they could put their shares, all of them, to IRA, they wouldn't be taxes. But if 1991 comes, there will be taxes. So many people would lose their land and they will be selling their share. Then people will be divided. It breaks my heart to see if we already is changing, but I would like to see they could hold their land, just one precious thing that provides us food and the ocean down there food. In the spring, when I was a child, they go down, way down to hunt seals. Me two powers up there too. All those along the coast there would be people. Below coal mine and all those toward Gelsovia, Seal Oil Creek, there would be different families go to hunt to get seal oil, put away food. And in the spring they come, then the herrings come, they would send for herring smells, and then all different fishes. Then they fish in the mouth of the river and further middle, somewhere further up and way up the river up to Whalebacks. There was a family that lives up there. Whaleback was his name. He was crippled. That mountain was named after him. Only Misha Tucker is here, his grandson. So if you see that Whaleback Mountains, you think of that old man. I heard he used to go with his wife, poling up, no motor, nothing. Of all that work, and they would come down. And he was crippled. See how people work for whatever food. I remember many a times they didn't have no jets and planes to bring food here. There's shortage of food. People, men folks, go seal hunting way down there early in the morning. They don't use no machine and all that. They walk down with their kayak and everything early morning. And when they get seal, ugruk or whatever, John used to get a lot of seals. He has right to talk. I was so thankful he talked because he provided lots of people in this village. When he get Ugruk, we go down and get food, you know, fresh meat, Ugruk meat, and others too. They were all good hunters. And I am thankful for Mary Sindrak, Mary, that grandma that had many, many hundreds of reindeer here. She shared with the orphans. And that's how we love to eat reindeer meat too. And all those, I'm thinking of the old people. I'm one of the older ones here. Hazel is a little bit older. That has talked just before me, and Ada and Aldous. Very few of us are, all our classmates, only Uncle Henry Nashaluk isn't here, I guess. So we are just less than a handful, I guess, that's now living. But I would love to see that we would hold our shares and our land. And I think it would be safe if we put it in IRA, and that way we wouldn't have to pay taxes. And I want to say this. Mom was real old. Just before her 80th birthday, she died. And then when they had these native allotments, Martha, she said, you can make me native allotment up there where my grandfather had in that valley up there, Pitiksek, we call it up here, there's a valley. And that means where they always shoot. She said, my grandfather used to chase, herd the caribous over that mountain, and there would be people waiting down in that valley, and that's where they would kill the caribous. I would want that for my allotment because it was my grandfather that has run and worked hard with. And she had it now, 80 acres, and I'm just talking that from way back we have lived here, our people here and the others, so many of our relatives, they're from Uncleet, and I would like to see them hold their land. I hope and pray God will bless and give us the increase. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Plainly, I had a stroke the swinger. Yeah, I used to talk little, but now I can't speak plain. But I can talk slowly. You know, this winter, I had a call from Noam, and he asked me about that you have allotment. Yeah, I say yes. I say yes. You want to sell it? For what? Or you want to sell it? But I said, I don't want to sell it. It's going to be my children. I got sons, and they're going to have them if I die. And he asked me if I wanted the Kawera. No, I'm not a Kawera member. I say I belong to that Bering Strait. No, I can't sell anything without letting them know. So he tried pretty hard, but I say no. I keep on no. That's the way you fellas, you young people, that they gonna wanna buy your land. 1991, and I know you young people, you wanna have money. You know, we hear, what's his name, Weaver. He told us, you know. And even they want to sell your share, I think it will be better for you to not sell. That I can tell you that much. Money never stay. But land, if you got land, don't sell it. It's going to be hard for those that sell your right. It's going to be hard, I know. Because he told us we'll have nothing. Nothing. And if you sell your fishing license, you're gonna lose everything. That's no use to sell for white man. That's the way. It's not same to talk as long as you talk true, not lie. That's the way it's going to be. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Just for the record, that was Pete Katungan. And I'd encourage anybody to give your name before you speak. Okay.
My name is Irene Kaverluk, and I'm from Koyuk, and I have 5 children and 12 grandchildren. And I regret to inform you that I was the secretary at the time the Land Claim Settlement Act was about to begin. I was in a city council, and that's how it started in Koyuk. Koyuk is a little village, and I think the city council was in power at that time, and I was a secretary, and they select this corporation board of directors at the time. And then later on, they select a representative. He left and he came back and told us that if we become corporation and get land claims and all that, we'll have lots of money every year. He was blinded by that money. So, you know, everybody likes to have money. So we took it, we accepted. I think those people that started this take Eskimos as ignorant people, but they're not ignorant. I remember my grandmother, she used to tell stories for hours and hours till I almost fall asleep. Now I think that they were real smart people, but in their own way. But at that time, I think we were conned into taking this. So we took it. Now I regret why we took it. And like a lot of other people, I would like to see it back to IRA. And like it used to be. We have children to think about. Our little piece of land won't amount to much even if this thing passes, because we hunt all over, not in just that little place. We hunt all over in our area for berries, for moose, for everything. And most of our food is from subsistence, because everyone don't have a job in the village. Just very few people. And I'd like to see this work out for the Eskimos, for everyone living in the villages. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I am Ada Dayton. My husband was Frank Dayton. And I was born here. Then he and I raised children, five are living. And we have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Of course, now that he's gone and he done his duty here, as joining the village when he moved here, when we got married. I was born here and grew up and seen all the changes, because our village wasn't very big. But as far as I could remember, we did grow gardens, because my older brother and sisters were the one that learned how to garden, and they supplied us with that. And then the reindeer was, many reindeers here were the Laplanders herding, and of course the natives too. And to me, we had a nice life. We never knew of other life, all because when we were of age, 6 years old, we went to the BIA school. And there we were told not to talk in Eskimo. And we just love our language. Now, if we sat here in our age group, we'd done beautiful. If we spoke in our own language, we would explain, in short, what exactly we wanted to. 'Cause there you go, when you take grammar in school, you can take the present, the future, and the past tense. In Eskimo, all is done that way too. But in short, no wonder when we had IRA meetings, I would say, my, if we only talk Eskimo, all of us, because people intend, many of them wouldn't understand us. There we'd go. It'd be more meaningful if we spoke in Eskimo. So that's how I always felt. Well, growing up, I knew there were leaders, like Martha Nanok said. And we were too young to know what was going on. We had our Eskimo mothers to take care of us. and everything was fine. The land was, animals were easy to get. The birds, we didn't have very far to go out in the lakes or further away, wherever the traditional huntings are. You go there they were. Now, in that time change, even myself, I can see the change, because the geese, like even today, they're flying south, and you can barely see them. Where usually, well, I always blame all these lights, well, modern days, everything is changing. So, well, going back to my husband, he's been a leader when he's been elected, and he helped out. And he knew his original rights, and so we did too. I joined with him when we got married. We got acquainted, and then this was how we got married. We had, both of us had the same interest, because I knew we had the original rights, and he did. He really practiced it too. And we toughed it out. Because he was a leader for the IRA Council, which was formed, like they said, in 1939. So when we got married and he moved here, he was letting them go. I was the one that voted for this little reserve we had here in 1939. Our age group were the voters. So I rightfully say I seen the change. So from there on, we worked. Then, even if he had to go, I took care of the children at home, which all the neighbors knew the best we could. We weren't any better off than our next door. We had no money to talk about, yet there was never one day that we did not eat. We believe in our good maker. Our age group would like to express that, because our traditional ways was too, that they had the most fulfillment of the commandments, love thy neighbor as thyself, which my good ancestors kept it up. So from there on, I could say that we went on. Our children were growing up. Well, I'll go back to this IRA. We were the voters. Then we carried on. Then Frank tried to explain our rights. So we, whatever he could do, and with a lot of help from the other councilmen, I give all the credit to those very faithful people. There was Nick Riley and Alan Susuk and Pete Kutuman too. If I leave anyone you out, I didn't do it intentionally. Anyway, the village worked together. Everybody worked together. Because we thought maybe we could get our land where we designated our traditional hunting grounds. So when this land claim settlement came, the next thing that they brought out, Dorothy Ray from Washington, D.C. came, and she said, there's one more, because they're always heading to our place, because there we are. We're interested in affairs of our native people. Now there you go again, she says, another clause in there, where there is, how can you own the land where there's not even a names in there? In cities and areas there's all kinds of names. I says, that's very interesting, Dorothy Ray. I'll start right now. I had the paper and pencil, all right. I'll volunteer from my house, and whatever I leave out, I depend on Thor Susuk, which is Alan Susuk, our eldest at that time. So I sat down. I says, it's very interesting. Immediate village of Unalakleet has been a very oldest settlement of the Unalak people. And Ungalakshit, all because it was occupied by Unalaks tribe up until all the others came to join. It was called Ungalakshit, Stebbins and St. Michael's will be very familiar with that word. Meaning, now, whenever I hear this translation on Unalakleet, where the east wind blows, to my translation, interpretation, it's not right. Ungalakleet meaning, this village most southerly is, Ungalak means south wind. We have our wind directions. We have Nekpak is north, east is Pingaknak, west is Kanaknak, and in between there's Chakosua, there's different directions. And they use those for designation. And two, this has been the very oldest, I'll go back to that, by the anthropologist findings, because they've been up here during Frank's time as the IRA leader. They had to get permission from the IRA council to dig over in that old village. There has been several villages. Like, we've only heard from our mothers because they have names. Like I told Dorothy Ray, every place they walked, every place they hunted, every place where they fish camps and all over, that's very interesting. I started from Unalakleet, Nusuk, all vices, some are kind of even humorous to name, it'd make you laugh because they have a meaning of something. And all of the creeks, all the hills, she was surprised. So I says, from there, you can get somewhere else, I'm sure. You'll get many, many names, all because they were named by the traditional people. They went through all over because they hunted there. They knew just where to go to hunt seals and all of those fish camps. And they're seasonal, and they never wasted anything. They took just what they needed. They're real most conservationist. So that's our way of life, which we treasure. And all because we were in the IRA, thinking that we will get our title to our land. We were promised that the original rights will be carried on. And from there on, let's hold our IRA as far as we can. State was hurrying the other villages to become second-class cities. We were the last ones to hold. And it was after the land claim settlement. I was present at that meeting. I knew it's going to be the last. And my children, Chuck was the only one that went with me. And I know someone was there. I know we're defeated this time, because it only takes 10 people to form a city second class. So just the same, I said, I want to attend just when they turned to the second class, which didn't make me feel too good. But things are changing. We can't do our way. So there I went. And two, even at it was named, even just the appointees that they put out the status and all that. And I know they will accept it. I held my hand up, may I say something? So I turned around and said to the last IRA councilman at that time, before they can reorganize again. I says, now, if you, one thing I'll ask, I says, we never did want to turn to be second class, but I know everybody's forcing, the state's forcing. Please hold, withhold your IRA counsel. So that was the thing. And from there on, things are changing, and many things are changing. And even the laws are here. The fish and game, now they're going to just, will be just watched by even, they check how many we got for subsistence fishing. And we love our fish. We always thought that we'll never lose that, but we're losing it. Sure thing. So we have to unify. We have to get together and try to make sure that these people that will be talking at AFN and all the leaders that will be present there, it will not be easy, I know, to amend these things that has already been settled, because they're tough enough time. And the only one living on that congressman, we couldn't blame those that were out there lobbying. They did their best because that was our only chance. And this only one that I can depend on, and I do depend on him, because he always asks me, if you need help, aid so much as that you, for your natives, that you can call on me, and maybe I could try to do my best. Because he was the one working with the National Congress of American Indians at that time when we went to Barrow. I was one of the delegates to talk about our Aboriginal rights in 1966. And he was then working for National Congress of American Indians and Laverne Madigan. He was the secretary of Laverne Madigan outfit, and Laverne Madigan came up with us. And while we were at Barrow, one of the interior, John Carver was Assistant Secretary of Interior, was with us when we talk about our lands. And that time too, then up at Barrow, we talked about, we seen all these people, the BIA and all those had gas, natural gas, coming into their offices and all that. So we made a resolution that we, as peoples that came up there to give them gas, all rights to put in there, because that was their land. And do you know, because our chairman, Guy O'Hawk, Frank told him, now you can take them to the poorest homes where they're burning sea oil and willows. And it's harder than along the coast where they don't have any wood. So that's what they did. After that resolution was passed, after 2 years that they got to get their gas into their homes. That was wonderful. We were pleased that if we didn't get anything else done, because there's always some kind of interference too. But I just want to put Ted Stevens in there too, because he has always worked with National Congress of Indians, and there he's been senator out there. And he's the only one left now of the Congress that will be, whoever lobbies, will it be easy? But I think it's better to try. And I hope that our needs will be helped out in this way, the way they're treating us. We treasure our land. At least if we got title to our area where we live, or what they're asking for, So we have to unify in all this, and I ask all of you people, I hope you feel that way too. And I want to thank you people for coming. I have studied you every time where I could see you on the TV. I take time out, because we're ever, forever learning, no matter in what age group we are. So I want to thank you again.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mrs. Davis.
I'm going to sneak up here real quick, but Weaver and I got it planned where we would maybe have everyone stand up for about 5 minutes before we go too much further. We've been sitting for almost 2 hours.
Okay.